We continue to move in our study of Abraham's life and what it means for us to walk by faith. So today, I don't know about you, I grew up on the game show Let's Make a Deal. Remember Monty Hall? Anyone here old like me? Yes, I see a lot of hands, and I see a lot of people not raising hands. Lucky for you. Okay. It's a great show. It was a lot of fun. But I don't want to talk about the show so much today as talk about something that we often do. Have you ever tried negotiating a deal? Not with a business partner or a vendor of some sort, but negotiating a deal with God. You know, I think we all do that. We come to a place where it is, we're confronted by something that maybe scares us, that we feel out of control, and we want to still remain in control. So we begin negotiating with someone who might be able to work it out for us and might be able to do what we want because we know that we're unable. Maybe you've prayed prayers like this: God, get me out of this, and if you do, I will start attending church. Hey, don't raise your hand if that's you, okay? I'm just glad you're here. I won't ask what it was that he got you out of. Or maybe prayers like this: God, if you are real, show me, and I will believe in you. That was one of mine. Or God, help me win the lottery. I'll triple tithe if you do. I hear some awkward laughs about that one. I'm a little nervous about that one as well. You know, if any of these sound familiar, it's because we tend to be negotiators. That's something that we do. We negotiate with God, and something all of us are tempted to do. Even people who say they don't believe in God negotiate with God. Have you noticed that? Maybe you've got friends who don't believe, and yet you hear them say, boy, if this happens, oh, man, I tell you, look up. There is a sense of that it is part of what it means for us to be human. Part of our spiritual DNA is that we call out to God or to something out there. If we don't know God, we are hopeful that maybe there is something out there that's going to be part of what is going to help us through this challenge that seems to be too big for us. Deep down, we know that God is out there and that we need his help because we can't do it on our own. There is something in us that says that, and yet everything else within us is all about our trying to control it, and so we begin then to negotiate. Today we're going to take a look at Abraham and his negotiations with God. Because I think what we'll see oftentimes, though this story is rather famous for Abraham, it is often misunderstood. And I want to suggest to you that we see a pattern here going on for Abraham's life that begins to confront us in our negotiations and begins to open up a path for us to move out of a negotiating perspective and into a prayerful intercessory perspective for when we deal with life and being confronted by situations beyond our ability to control them. Situation in chapter 18 of Genesis is this, that there are these three visitors. It's an interesting story. You may want to take a few minutes today to read it later on. Three visitors come and Abraham sees them. He goes out of his tent. He greets them. He invites him to come and be refreshed. He has his wife prepare some bread. He has one of his servants go prepare a barbecue. And they're going to have a little bit of a meal for these three visitors he has never met before. Turns out they are heavenly visitors. They are angels, and they are, or at least one, refers to him as the Lord. And as they begin to go on their way, they say that they're on their way to a place not far away from where Abraham lives, a place called, two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you probably have, we're not going to get into the whole destruction thing today, because that really kind of moves away from Abraham. I want to focus here today that this is when Abram hears what God's plans are, and he hears about this and it begins to strike his heart out of a place of fear, which is usually where our negotiating comes from. Abram begins to negotiate with God. And so we'll pick it up here in verse 20, where it says, "Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned. This is two of the visitors. Turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abram remained standing before the Lord. And then Abram approached him and said, now this is, again, this is an interesting little dialogue here between Abram and God, Abraham and God, excuse me. Abraham says, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, will not the judge of the earth do right? It's an interesting place to be. Abram is in this spot hearing what God is up to, but he wants to challenge, seemingly challenge God, that God, if you are really good, you won't do this, will you? Have you ever said that? Circumstance comes up in your life or in the life of your spouse or in the life of someone near you. An infant is sick, maybe sick unto death. A friend's in an accident, teetering on the edge. World's coming undone. Reputation's being sullied. Job's going away. Everything's undone. And you begin to cry out and negotiate. God, if you are good, you will do this because this is unfair. This is wrong. You can't imagine that God would operate this way. We create all kinds of deals, don't we? And sometimes we create this deal like, if God, if you're really good, then you're going to do this. And if you don't do it, then I'll know you're not really good. You see, we put God in this little box and we say, this is how God is supposed to operate. And Abraham's doing a little bit of that boxing God in here too. Now, the good news with Abraham and the good news with us is that we're going to see that God is good. And we'll see that as we go forward. So the Lord responds to him, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. You see what he says? He turns it around and says, don't worry, Abram, if there's 50, my gosh, of course I would spare the whole place. I'd even spare the evil if there are 50 good people, which is hope for us in the midst of a decaying society, that somehow God can still work in us, even though we think he ought to probably turn his back on the evil that's all around us. So then Abram spoke up again. He said, now that I have been so bold to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? And as I read that, because I know where he's going, I begin to smile, and I think God probably smiled too. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people? And the Lord replies, if I find 45 there, I will not destroy it. Now, I'm not going to keep putting these up on the screen, but just know that there is going to be a repetition that begins to follow. Because Abraham begins to continue on this path. What if there are only 40 there? Well, for 40, I would not destroy it. What if there are only 30 there? Well, for 30, I will not destroy it. What if there's only 20 people there who are righteous? Well, for 20, I would not destroy the whole city. And finally, Abraham gets to this place where he says, may the Lord not be angry with me, but let me speak once more. What if only 10 can be found there? And God answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abram, he left and Abraham returned home. Now, a lot of times we hear that passage and we think, okay, this is this negotiation going on, that God is doing what Abraham wants him to do, or Abraham is trying to work a deal out with God. And I'm going to suggest to you that there is something else in play here. That it's not so much God having to jump through the hoops of what Abraham says is going to be the right thing for God to do. But it is Abraham's way of finding out if, in fact, God is trustworthy. Are you really good? And when he gets to this place, finally, when he says, hey, for 10, maybe Abraham thinks there might be 10 people. I mean, it's a pretty awful town, but maybe there are 10 people who are good there. You see, Abram's concerned not just with the city of Sodom because it's a city, but because his nephew Lot lives there and his nephew's family lives there. And so Abram's got this personal connection, and he's hoping that though he lives in this sinful place, that God will still spare them if there is a remnant of righteous there. And I think what God reveals to Abraham, or at least he satisfies in Abraham's mind, that he is not just out to destroy whatever light lay there, but that he is really good and he can be trustworthy. In the end, Abram is satisfied with God's goodness. If there's 10, I won't destroy it. Well, he can count them. You know, okay, I've got, well, there's Lot, and there's his wife, and there's his kids. So we're getting close. We're getting close. He says, okay, I can trust you for that. If you can be that gracious, I can trust you with that. And at this point, then, he begins to trust, and he moves away. This is the end of the Abraham part of the story. And what's Abraham do? Satisfied that God is good, he steps away. This is the part of the story with you and me that often we get stuck in, though. When we can begin to negotiate with God, and maybe it doesn't go the way we hope, or we don't know how it's going to turn out, and we're not convinced of the goodness of God, we tend to stay there. We continue to own it. We continue to wrestle with it. We want to make another deal. We want to offer another suggestion. We want to look for another way that we could get God to stay in our box and do our bidding. Have you ever been to a place, maybe it's a different country? You know, if you go to the store here and you see an item is $19.99, you expect when you get to the cashier that you're going to pay $19.99, right? Dennis, when we go to Mexico and you're kind of negotiating with vendors down there, they've got something, they've got an item that you want, you've got cash in your pocket that they want, and they say the price is $20. What do you say? How about 10? Yes. Because why? Because you know that they will negotiate with you, don't you? Because you've got some power. What's that power? What's your leverage? You cash. That's right. And they want it. Now, they've got the item, and you want that. And so when you're negotiating that kind of a deal, it makes sense because you've got some leverage, and they've got some leverage, and you can go back and forth and find a place where you all can agree. But when it comes to negotiating with God, what is our leverage? What is our leverage? If you don't do what I say, I'll be mad at you. Yeah, that's what we say. That's what we say, isn't it? If you don't heal this person the way I want you to, I'll be angry with you. If you don't do this for me, I won't go to church anymore. I'll show you. You know, I don't think that God really operates that way. And that's why I don't think this is really a story about that kind of negotiation. This is a story about Abraham coming to understand the character and the nature of God. And he begins to see that God is beyond gracious and beyond good. That though this large city is so bereft with evil, or so filled with evil, but that even for 10, he would spare the entirety of it. Abram says, okay, I can trust you. And instead of holding on to it, he walks away. This becomes part of the challenge for us, but it's also the freedom for us in prayer that as we come to God, if we come to God with all of our issues and all of our challenges and we offer it to him, as I said, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and petition, make your request known to God. That is how the release that we are invited to, that we are invited to come and to bring it to God, not to be held captive by the challenges we face. When we pray, I'm going to say this, when we pray, we are negotiating, aren't we? But we're negotiating from a position of weakness, and I think that's a good thing because it reminds us that we are invited, and this is what prayer does for us. Prayer puts us in a place of humility, intentional humility, that as we come before God, we're not telling him what to do. We're not trying to hem him in. We're not trying to tell him how he has to operate in order to please us. We're not trying to create a box of our making to keep him inside of. We are simply bringing our requests, and we are giving them up. This is a humiliating, this is a control giving away exercise. And that is what prayer is really about. It's not so much about getting the results we want. It's about getting the presence of God that only comes when we take those walls off the boxes and let God do what only God can do. This is a position of humility that prayer invites us to. It's when we say, not my will, but your will be done. Or as you hear in the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying when we pray that prayer pattern that Jesus gave us, except saying, I am going to say it is your will that needs to be done, not mine. And that's not resignation. That is praying for God's very best. It is saying, I'm not going to be the one who is going to be the judge, whether I'm praying for my family member's health or my co-worker's marriage, whether I'm praying for an addict to be recovering, whether I'm praying for a homeless person to have shelter. I'm not praying to say, God, you've got to do this. I am coming before and saying, I want God's best for this person. When I pray for the leaders of our nation, when we pray for those situations around us that are out of control, we are praying that God would be able to come and bring his best into those situations. When we pray for the children who are facing hunger or families caught in addiction, communities caught in violence, we are inviting God to do something that is beyond our ability. And it's our invitation to then pray that and leave it there. Abram turned and walked away. We're not called to say, this thing is making me anxious. I'm going to pray it to God and then can remain anxious. We are to give it to him and allow him then to have it because God is good. This week, my wife Lori and I went down to a concert on Thursday night down in Fresno. It was Toby Mac. And if any of you here want to ever go to a great concert, go to a Toby Mac concert. It was fantastic. But one of the parts of the concert that was, I think, most striking to me was at that time in the concert where he was talking about a song. He's about to sing a song that he wrote a couple of years ago called 21. He wrote that song, 21, a couple of years ago because his son died at the age of 21. And he was struggling with what to do with God in the midst of such loss. He said that while he was in that place of darkness, wrestling with the grief and loss of having his heart broken because his son was gone, that a friend of his told him, Toby, what you need to do is reach up and grab hold of a promise of God. But he said, but be careful that what you grab onto is really a promise of God. Because God never said, you will not suffer loss. But that's often the kind of promise we want to try to hold on to. But what God did promise was that I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, he said. And that is a promise that he could hold on to even in the darkest nights, even in the deepest grief, that he was not alone. God doesn't promise us that everything is going to work out in our ways, the ways that we want. He doesn't promise us that he's going to remain in the box of our creating. But he does say that he will always be in whatever box we're in, he will be there with us. And he will be the one who can help us find a way out. Because he is good. And that's why we can come and pray. It's not that we come and try to manipulate him. It's not we come and try to negotiate. But the negotiating is part of that learning to trust his character and to find a way to trust him in it. That verse we started off this morning with, that 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, rejoice always. And again, that seems impossible when things don't think they're going our way. It says, pray continually. I love this in the NIV because it's only two words. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You know, when people say, I'm going to memorize a scripture verse, that's a good one to memorize. Everyone always wants to go to Jesus wept because it's only two words. Hey, this one's only two words also. And this one actually might be more helpful to us day to day. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This becomes the issue for us, that we're invited to do God's will, which means that we are called to give thanks even when things aren't going our way, that we are called to pray when things are bad as well as when things are good, and that in all things we are called to rejoice because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's what Abraham was discovering. That's why he was able to walk away. Maybe there was a question as he heard about the destruction of Sodom. But when he began to see the heart of God, he began to understand that God was good all the time. He could leave it there and step away and allow God to be God. Father, I thank you that you are God and that you are good. And that into each situation of each of our lives, God, that you are already at work. God, I thank you for this invitation, not to think that we can somehow manipulate you or negotiate a better settlement for us, but God, take us out of the middle of that equation. Help us even this morning to come to know you, to see your hand, to recognize your grace, to receive your mercy, and to join you in praying for all that we see, all that surrounds us, that is out of place, God. Help us to be a part of your solution through prayer. Help us to be a part of your solution through our presence in the circumstances you place us in. Help us to be a part, God, of your kingdom's coming and your will being done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. So, Father, we pray for your help. Meet us and carry us forward. In Jesus' name, amen.